From the world of AV programming and control with James King, I'm Steve Greenblatt, and this is Ask the Programmer. So today we're going to have a little bit of a different episode. Unfortunately, James is not with me today, but I do have a very special guest. We're here at ISC 2024, and with me is actually a team member who I work very closely with, Brittany DeCessari.
Hey, Steve. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm wonderful. It's been a great show. I'm happy to be here. I get to fill in for James a little bit again, so it tends to be our ISC tradition, it seems.
Absolutely. Thanks for being here. And yeah. I wanted to talk about a bunch of things. I mean, ISC is something that we could talk about, but what I think is really important, one thing that for our audience and something that I think is special is that you are somebody who comes to this industry from a little bit of a different background in terms of the fact that you have a technical and business blend, and you get to work with a bunch of programmers.
Yes.
So let's talk about that a little bit. Programmers are an interesting group, and coming from a business side, and programmers come from a very technical, very nuts and bolts focused, and almost things have to be a certain way, and let me backtrack a little bit. Your role is the director of sales and operations at Control Concepts, and so let's talk a little bit about what that looks like in terms of working with programmers. From your perspective, what have you had to learn to be able to feel comfortable working with programmers, and also for those programmers to feel comfortable working with you?
Right. Yeah. You know, programmers, like you said, are going to be very analytical. Luckily, I would say I tend more towards that side than I would a sales and forward-facing side sometimes naturally. And so I think there was a little bit where I had to prove that I did have some of the technical chops, and I could hold my own in a technical conversation. And I think with that, I decided to pursue my CTS very early on in joining Control Concepts. I think that showed my dedication to the industry and to the technical aspects of what we do. And so I think it was learning how to balance, find the right point of bringing in the technical side, getting it to a point where at this point we are having such a technical conversation that we really do need that technical expertise to help that business conversation along. And so helping our team understand that not only do we need to have that technical focus, but we are very relationships based in what we do. We love building our business around partners and partnership. And so making sure that the conversations that we're having, we're seeing people for people. We're having people conversations. Although it's about technical, we're all still people. And we really approach it from an aspect of caring. And we always want our manufacturer partners and our control platform partners to understand that we care about everything that we do and put out there. And so bringing in that more warm side to a group who tends to be seen differently, not so warm and inviting because of the nature of how they are and their personality and how they're wired. So being able to kind of bridge those gaps has been really important.
Is there a turning point or a challenge that you recall having to overcome to get, I mean, you mentioned about getting them to respect you technically, but has there also been any other type of challenge that sticks out for you that has helped you to propel in your role and be more effective?
I think it's really been able, I've had to really learn and identify when our team, our technical team, is getting too focused in on the details. And getting too into the weeds of what we're looking at too early on. With what they do, they're going to identify those weaknesses within a development or the code or the API. They're meant to do that. They're immediately going to go in as deep as they can. And sometimes that can cause our technical team to kind of freeze up, because they see all of the things that could go wrong, all of the possibilities that could make this impossible. But it's understanding when that happens, being able to see that as soon as that's starting to happen, and bring their heads back up and say, okay, we're not looking at this whole elephant, we just gotta take a small bite. So what's the first thing we can do? Tell me what is possible right now. And then stepping it through with them and walking them through. Sometimes we really just need to look at the first point in our GPS map on the route, instead of focusing on all the different turns we have to make. So really just helping them key in to one step at a time. Okay, we've solved that. Now on to the next. Now what do we do? What's the next piece that is possible? And looking at being solutions minded and focused, not focused in on the fail points, the things that could go wrong that are outside of our control. There are things that we can do and steps that we can make that could provide a solution. So being more solutions focused, definitely.
And one of the things that is really important that you bring a very keen business sense to our team, and that really has provided a tremendous lift to where we're going, and also help us to kind of galvanize a little bit. Mm-hmm. And business.
You just pulled a Dan Ferisi word out there.
Well, we hang around with
the
Dan.
The vocabulary
enough.
Is yes, expanding.
Yes. We had, if we hang around with Dan Ferisi, and you'll get a very good vocabulary. Sometimes you might need your dictionary, but the business side of things comes very easily to you, and but not necessarily to somebody who's technical. Yeah. Talk about bridging that gap a little bit, because honestly, we're all in business, even though we have a technology flair, and what we sell is technology and what we do is technology. It still comes down to business fundamentals, and our industry doesn't necessarily teach those.
Right.
And it's something that can be foreign to some people.
Yeah. I think that our industry has focused a lot into technology, as it should, but unfortunately, sometimes it comes at the expense of foregoing the business side of things and the business knowledge and expertise and training. And that's something that Steve has been very good at trying to bring into the trade shows, into their education series. We do a class together that's more business focused. But we have to remember, at the root of it, we are all trying to establish a business, run a business. Honestly, we want it to be a profitable business, because at the end of the day, we want to be around long term. I don't know that there is a single company that gets started saying, I just want to do this for 2 years. Like, they want longevity, and they want something to outlast them and build a legacy within our industry. And so I think it's very important to not let the technical and all the technology that this industry offers overshadow the importance of establishing a firm business foundation. And so with that, it's really been important to identify those key roles within a typical business, and within a thriving business and a healthy business, understand the operations behind that, why those exist, what those roles look like, making sure you've got the right people for your company culture, your vision, they're in the right place where they can excel and truly bring value. But also for our technical team and our team of developers, it's been helping them understand that our sales side gets the opportunity in the door. We get that first development project. They keep coming back because of our technical team. They keep coming back because they love working with the developers they work with. They love the support. They love the communication they get, and they love the end product. That's why our company has been able to have such a high repeat business percentage. And that's why they keep coming back time after time, because once myself and our sales team has gotten them in, it's up to the team. I can't develop. I choose not to get my hands in code. Steve likes to tell me I probably could code if I wanted to, but I choose to stay more on the business side and rely on our amazing team of experts to do it. And they get to have those technical conversations. And sometimes that means working with an engineer on the other side to brainstorm and think about how they could approach it. And it gives them the opportunity to be creative. And sometimes they probably don't even realize it, but they're being strategic about how they're developing these solutions. So we're all working together. Our sales team can only get it so far. We can, like I said, we can bring that first one in. But if they're keeping coming back, it's because of our entire team, and it's not just one person.
You touched on a couple of things that I want to come back to. One is the business side, in terms of how can somebody who is wanting to learn more and be more effective and grow their knowledge and business skills. Mm-hmm. What tips or recommendations would you have for them?
There's so much out there. I think there are so many books and that you can reference, and just be a learner, be a reader. It's not something that I thought of myself as a reader. As I decided it was time to learn and grow and develop my business skills, I realized I needed to go ahead and invest in that, and really started picking up some great business resources. There, of course, are podcasts out there that you can listen to. I encourage you to really find someone that you view and highlight, and you see things that they're doing that you would really love to learn more about, and find that person to really bring you under their wing and kind of mentor you and shepherd you in that. But there's a lot of resources out there, and you really should just dive in and find what works for you. We've found some tools at Control Concepts that we're really looking forward to implementing, and excited about some of those operational systems that we're exploring. And so there are lots of things out there. At the root of it, they all talk about the same thing. It's how they approach it and what they call it. You know, it's all very similar. But don't be afraid to learn, to ask questions, to explore and try things and see what works. And don't forget, at the heart of this, we are dealing with people. So learn how to communicate with people. That's the success of any business, because the business takes so many different personality types to effectively run. If you are struggling to communicate with certain people and you're finding there's like a pattern, figure that out. Identify that. Learn how to communicate with people who are unlike you, because that's going to allow you to take something that may have been a friction point and talk through it together, communicate it out, and then move past it.
And one of the things that I'll tag on to that is that we happen to have a session at Infocom coming up, which we just found out about. I can get back to the audience about the details of it, but it's really a great session that you and I do that we're very, very passionate about, called Understanding Personality Types, and it really speaks to that, is that in short, everybody has a makeup, a blend of four main components, and you need to understand more about yourself and how you can analyze and predict somebody else's personality type and figure out where is that meeting point, essentially. I liked what you said about nobody goes into business thinking they're just going to do it for a couple of years, but I think a lot of people in this industry, there's a lot of small businesses that people started out, didn't realize what it meant to get into business.
Sure.
So I feel like the resources that you provided are really solid, but I think that it's also never too late to learn more about business.
Yeah. Well, I think we're always learning, and that's the beauty of our industry, is the innovation that happens on a regular basis, being able to see the progress, the new technology coming out. It's the same in business. There are still things to be learned. We always have improvements to make. We always have things that we can do better, and I think it's being able to assess that. You know, there's a book out there called Debrief to Win that I really loved and found valuable. But being able to kind of evaluate the decisions made and the results of those decisions and identify, okay, here are the tweaks we can make so that we approach a better decision the next time. And being able to even highlight, okay, this was a great outcome. We want more great outcomes. Let's go ahead and evaluate why this was so great and keep doing it. There are always areas and avenues that we can grow and excel in, and I think you have to be driven enough to go out and find them. Like, don't wait for all of those opportunities to come to you. Don't wait for the book to just fall in your lap to read it. If you want to grow in your business skills, get out there and learn. There are so many free options out there, and even inexpensive options out there. It doesn't mean you have to go to school and get your MBA. I have no desire to go back to school. I'm so glad I'm done with that. But I still can learn the tools and tricks I need to be able to implement something within our organization without having to do such a large commitment.
So you touched on mentors, and I'm sure that you have mentors. I would say, as much as I may mentor you, you mentor me back.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm very proud and very grateful for that. Because I feel like the things that I've learned in business because of our relationship and the things that we've done together, and we have an age gap between us. and so I just want to share with the audience that there's just so much that you can learn, and it's important to surround yourself with people that can fill the gaps and complement you and work well together. And it's just
yeah, something. it's easy to fall into surrounding yourself with like people. But as much as there is visible diversity, there's also skill set diversity. There's also diversity of personality types and strengths and weaknesses. And it's so important to surround yourself with people who are unlike you to push you in ways. And I think it's important to find that right partnership where they push you in a comfortable way, but they're still nudging you outside of that comfort zone. Steve does this to me a lot. Hence, I'm sitting on this podcast. But I think it's definitely important to make sure that you're open-minded to that, and then seeking out people where they have something, a quality, a skill set that you admire. Start spending more time with them. And I think you'll start to see you almost like a sponge kind of soak that up and get to see how it feels to take on some of those attributes, to learn some of those skills, and to really become more comfortable. And sometimes it just means becoming comfortable being uncomfortable, and just taking that step forward and doing it anyways. But yeah, it doesn't have to be someone older than you, someone who has more experience than you. It can be someone younger than you that just has a different skill set. We really shouldn't let age determine what the mentor-mentee relationship looks like. It's really, you know, it can be a back and forth like it is with you and I, in terms of what you've taught me and what I've been able to teach you. And I think that's the beauty of a partnership and making sure you're with the right partner as you start to build something like this.
Very well said.
Thanks.
I wanted to talk about the four-letter word, and that's sales. So sales is something that I'm sure a lot of programmers don't take well to. And when you and I first started talking about bringing you into the organization, what did you think about sales?
I said, sales is not for me. I am not a salesperson. I don't want a sales role. I'm not going to excel at it. It's not what I do, and I really don't want to do it.
And what do you do?
I do sales. We all do sales. Our entire team does sales. You know, I think we've all experienced a bad sale and a bad salesperson and an uncomfortable situation in the sales role. And for me, you know, those bad experiences kind of was my focus and what I visualized when I heard of sales. But I think within our industry, we are so familial already within this industry. It can't be approached in the typical old school sales way. It's not going to be received well. And thank goodness, because I didn't want to do that. And so I think where we've seen the shift in something that Control Concepts has been very focused on is building relationships and partnerships. And how do we help each other? And we believe that we have solutions that will benefit manufacturers. It's more than a belief, it's absolute knowledge. We have the data to back that up. We know that we can help manufacturers get more sales. So we know their pain point. We understand their pain point. So let's talk about it. Maybe it's a fit, maybe it's not. And that's okay if it's not. It's okay if there are other options out there for you that might work better in a different model than what we have. It's okay if even we decide there are better fits for you than what we have. We make a conscious decision. We don't take every opportunity handed to us. We are very strategic in the partnerships we build. And so we want to make sure there's alignment in everything that we do. And it's so important to just, like I said earlier, talk to people like they're people, like care, just be understanding enough to be able to come to a product manager, come to a salesperson and say, I really believe I can help you here. Let's just explore it together. Maybe we're a fit, maybe we're not, but how about we just talk it through? What are the pain points you're seeing? I know at the end of the day, you need more sales, which means you need more eyes on your product. Let's talk about how maybe I can do that and help you with it. So, you know, that's one aspect. And then at the other end of it, it's having a good experience through the entire process of working with the company, not feeling like you're handed off one to another. And it's a completely different experience when you're in the sales department versus when you're in production. It should always feel like the same company with the same values. So that's why, you know, Steve has always said our entire team is in sales, because they are. It's not just me. It's not just our sales team. It's all of us together working and building relationships. You will never, ever hear me on a podcast and not talk about building relationships, because that's so vital to the health of our organization, and it's vital to this industry, because that's what it's all about.
So when we first started talking and building relationships was one of your strengths, and I've come to learn about all the others, but that's something that I said to you, you're not going to sell anything. You're just going to go out and make some friends.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That's really what we tried.
That's
to
what
do.
Sold it to me. See, sales, you know? it was a lot of discussions and understanding what you were looking for and boiling it down, you know, on paper. Yeah, sure. It said sales. And yes, I'm responsible for making sure we have work coming in the door. So it's sales, but that's at the root of it. We're really just talking to people and caring about people and seeing how we fit, and how we can help. And, you know, just making sure that it's not just about dollars. Mm-hmm. You know, it's about being a great fit, being the right solution.
One of the things that my dad taught me, and he taught me a lot of good phrases and good memory triggers about business, and he says a sale isn't a sale until you get paid. So talk a little bit about how you, in your role, help to shepherd that. So it's not just selling and moving on. Mm-hmm. You do a lot more.
Yeah. So like Steve mentioned, I'm the director of sales and operations for Control Concepts. So that operations piece of it is making sure that you know, our technical team is also meeting their milestones, and it's really walking not only our client through the process, but also shepherding our team through the process, and making sure that any hurdles that our team might face, we overcome, and I get involved when I need to. But it's really, we want a good, congruent experience through every department of our company. We want our client to always have that same experience. And so with that, it's, you know, sometimes it's holding the hand of our development team and saying, it's okay, well, we're going to figure this out, or okay, what do we need to get off your plate so that you can go heads down and focus? How can we get you into a sprint so that nothing else is being bothered and interrupting your focus? You know, how can we give you the tools and resources you need to continue to do your job and do it faster and more efficiently? And quality is incredibly important to us, so we always want that high quality. How can we make it a step better than the quality we're giving? We're always looking at that. And so it's really making sure it's a smooth process. And with that is internal communication and making sure the communication channels are right. And there are so many layers to it, but it's really taking a look at that human element, understanding, you know, we've got people who, clients who are like, we're so excited for the solution. We've invested, we're ready, let's go. And understanding, you know, setting those right expectations with the client is going to be very important, but setting the right expectations with our team internally is important too. And helping them understand that, one, it's never going to be perfect. We are not striving for perfect. We are striving for excellence. And there are probably going to be things that, you know, you overanalyze because that's who they are and that's what they do. And you just have to kind of get them out of that and say, no. we're not looking at all of this. Let's just focus in, like I talked about earlier. And, you know, just bridging that gap between our clients and our team. And we choose to allow our team to really interact with the clients as well. And we think that's incredibly important to our success. And so knowing the right time to step in to have that discussion with the client and take that off of the developer if that needs to happen, being able to step in and say, the developer needs to focus here, so I'm going to help you right now. So it's a give and take within our team, and it's really just you've got to kind of find these layers and these avenues to really find that success.
Very well said, and we're going to wrap up very shortly, and I just wanted to ask, looking back after 2 years and after
2 years
going through the progression and what you've learned and what and the experience that you've had, what are some of the fond memories that you can talk about or something that really stood out to you?
Every trade show stands out to me because trade shows are so outside of my comfort zone. I love every minute of it. But I think for me, what stands out is the progression through each trade show, the progression from my, my first trade show ever on this side, because I'd experienced trade shows on a completely different side. But being able to experience what that's like going in to stands and booths and having those conversations, being able to understand how to find our way to the right person within a company, being able to understand and truly internalize and make my own our message and our solution and how we serve this industry. Once I really felt comfortable with that and was able to put it into my own words, it really has become this my story and my messaging. And I hope that as our manufacturer partners interact with me, they understand that I truly mean every word that I say about how we serve this industry and how we can make this industry even more successful. So it's really been learning how to hone in that messaging and continue to have those communications. But it's been a lot of trade shows in 2 years, and they've progressed every time. They've gotten better and better, and I can't wait till we can bring more of our team to more shows and they can experience it too. But yeah, I would say just being able to look back over that progression and see how much more comfortable I've gotten in my trade show chops.
I think you've done great, and I think you're going to continue and just think of how far you've come. And I think that's a lesson for everybody, is you don't really know what you're capable of until you put yourself out there, and you've done a great job with that.
Thank you.
So how can people get in touch with you, learn more about Control Concepts, learn more about manufacturers can work with us?
So you can go to controlconcepts.net. That's our website that's going to have all the information you could need. Manufacturers, we've actually opened up another website for you that we believe really provides, we have a free tool and resource that you can go through and read and understand why an API is not enough anymore, and it's time to expand past that and invest it a little bit more. So that URL is controlmyavproduct.com. So manufacturers, if you work for a manufacturer, go there, download that free tool and resource, and then I would love to just chat with you and explain a little bit more about what's talked about in there. And then me personally, I'm on LinkedIn and X. I really got to work on that. It feels weird to say that. But my handle is @BrittDice.
I say the platform formerly known as Twitter.
Oh, thank you. I'm going to adopt that.
Mm-hmm. And thank you for filling in for James.
Of course.
I'm sure that he is proud.
I hope I did him justice. Miss you, James. See you at Infocom.
So for James, you could reach James at @AV_JamesKing. You could also Google him, as he always says, and you can find him all over HETMA. And we'll be back with James in a regular episode soon. But thank you, Brittany, for being part of this.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
It was a great conversation. Yeah. For me, you could reach me @SteveGreenblatt on social media. Brittany's already told you about how to find Control Concepts, so please follow her and follow what she's saying. And for this podcast, you can find us on YouTube. You could find us on your favorite podcast player. To follow the podcast, it can also be found on the platform formerly known as Twitter as AV Programmer Pod. And please like, review, let us know what you think. Let us know how you feel about this episode if you want to be a guest. And also let us know what other topics you want us to cover. And until next time, this has been Ask the Programmer.